Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. You know, God keeps telling us to rise and shine, for our light has come. So I just thought I would teach on that and see what God has to do with it. I want us to read what's up here, you know, to yourself, because I want you to get it in your spirit. Father, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you that people came out in the heat to sit in your presence and eat the fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that your angelic hosts are here to meet each and every need. I thank you, Father God, that your spirit does rest upon us richly tonight, and that you are doing a great and a mighty work in and around each and every one of us. And Father, when we leave here tonight, we will not be the same as when we came. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We need to continually, now I want you to read this to yourself, and I want you to get in your spirit. We need to continually remind ourselves that Jesus is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be magnified. There is no one like him. He is the Ancient of Days. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He is God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. We need to continually bless his holy name, give him glory, give him honor. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be adored. He is worthy to be magnified. He is the Almighty God. We need to continually understand that there is nothing he cannot do. All powers belong to him. He can reverse the irreversible. He is your light, your glory, your shining star. Lift your voice to God and say, this is why I want you to say this out loud. Say, Father, send your light into my life and let me begin to shine. Please don't let my son sit in the afternoon. Don't let my son sit at midday. Let my son shine all day long. Father, be merciful to me. Don't let my son set. Now, as I teach, I want you to remember you said that, all right? Now, this is something, let's go say this, read this, and get it down in your spirit. Don't say it out loud. God is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Ancient of Days, the I Am that I Am, the Unchangeable Lord, the Alpha, the Omega, the Beginning, the Ending, the One who was, the One who is, the One who is to come, the Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Rock of Ages, Lamb of God, and the King that is coming again. There is no one like you. You are greater than the greatest. You are better than the best. You are richer than the richest. You are stronger than the strongest. You are older than the oldest. You are wiser than the wisest. Father, tonight, do the impossible. Reverse the irreversible. Now, you're saying this to yourself, right? Heal the sick. Set the captives free. Let there be miracles. Let there be signs. Let there be wonders. Let there be joy. Let there be major breakthroughs. Father, let this night be a night we will never forget. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. See, if we would just keep those two pages that we just read upmost in our mind, we wouldn't have the problems that we're having in the body of Christ. We focus too much on what the darkness is doing and not enough on the light. Now, Isaiah 60 verse 1 through 3 says, Arise, shine, for the light has come, thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now God gave us that scripture quite a few years ago, and that's the scripture we should stand on. It's up there too, isn't it? But do we realize what God has said to us? Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. See, we haven't realized this. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. This is what he was telling us a few years back. But we did not step into that scripture. We said, well, that's nice, that's neat, and then we dropped it. To shine, it means be bright by reflecting or casting light. In Daniel 6, 1 through 3, we see Daniel shining among so many others because an excellent spirit was found in him, and God's been trying to get us to have an excellent spirit. All right, number one, to shine means to excel. Number two, to shine means to succeed glaringly, to succeed in a way that it cannot be hidden. Are you understanding this? On the day that David stood on the road of Goliath, Goliath was on the ground, David was standing on him. At that moment, David began to shine in Israel. When Elijah called down fire from heaven in the presence of a whole nation, there was no doubt any longer who is the prophet in the land. We're talking about you shining, guys, in a dark, gross world. Number three, to shine is not only to succeed glaringly, it is to overflow, and it is for your blessing to overflow. Isaac overflowed in the land of the Philistines. He shone when darkness of famine covered the land. He prospered so much that a whole nation noticed it, and they began to ask, how is your case different from our own? This is what people need to be seeing in us, and they need to be wanting what we have. Instead, they don't. So I try to get this together to teach you that you need to learn to shine. All right, number four, to shine means to win and win easily. We need to start asking God, asking largely of God. God told me a couple years ago, remember, you aren't asking large enough. We're settling for the mundane things, and he wants us to have the very best of everything. Number five, to shine is to win without a fight. Deuteronomy 28:7, the Lord said he will cause the enemies that come against you to be smitten before your face. He will cause this. You won't have to fight. You will just see your enemy falling. He said when they come against you in one way, they will flee before you in seven ways. Now that is shining. But we're out there battling, aren't we? We're acting like we don't have anybody on our side. And God doesn't want us to do that. It doesn't matter how many enemies are against you up to this moment, they will begin to scatter before you. Number six, to shine means to be exceptional, in gifts and talents. We shouldn't be ordinary Christians, guys. We should be different than anybody else. In First Samuel 16, 15 through 18, David shone in singing, in playing of instruments. He was so good that when the king said, I need someone who can play for me, they said, we know someone who can play exceptionally. I am believing that from this moment onward, your case will be exceptional. From now on, your anointing will begin to surprise everybody. Get this in your spirit tonight. God wants you to shine out there in that dark world. He wants your light to be so bright that you will dispel the darkness. And they will look at you and say, I want what you have. You're going to be different. Look at David. There was various ways, right? There was various ways in which you could shine. You can be exceptional in gratitude. Look at David. He shined in every sphere of life. He was a king. He was a warrior. He was a prophet. He was a musician. He was a shepherd. He shined in every facet of life. So why are you just being content with being, a worshiper? Why don't you want more things to come alive within your life? Why don't you want to be a light that shines so bright when people need something, they'll run to you? Because they will know there's something different about you. David also shined in gratitude. Number one, he was the one who said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And David was under attack all the time. David is the one who said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David was the one who said, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed within me. I will praise the Lord. David was the one who said, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known his faithfulness to all generations. You see that? David knew gratitude. He knew who his father was. He knew who it was that was leading, guiding, and directing him. You can shine in gratitude. That is one area where it is easy to beat everybody else, because many people don't want to be grateful to God. They just want to keep on complaining. Amen? So your case can be acceptable in gratitude. You can begin to show the rest of the world from now on that you are more grateful than everybody else. It is interesting that those who shine in gratitude always get more miracles than others. The leper who was grateful, not only was he healed, he was made whole. Come on, see, you settle for just the little things and the mundane things, and God wants you to have everything. And you're going to have to learn to be grateful, have gratitude towards God for the little things that he does. And then he'll give you the bigger things. Once you discover this secret, your life will change completely of gratitude. If you are constantly thankful to God, he will keep doing more and more for you. You know, like when all hell is breaking loose around about you, I thank you, God. I just thank you. That's so wonderful. I thank you that you're with me. I thank you and you're fighting this battle for me. You see what I'm saying? Instead of getting on the phone, oh, you just don't know what's just going on in my life. You're not being grateful to God for what he's done for you. You're just a complainer. We really have to get over this. Everyone in this room has to get over this, including me. Come on. Number 8. You can begin to shine in faith. Many people claim that they believe God, but they don't really have faith. The Bible is full of examples of those who shone in faith. Talking about the woman with the issue of blood, she shined in faith by simply saying, I am not asking Jesus to pray for me. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. Are you listening? You can touch the hem of Jesus' garment without Jesus standing in front of you through your faith. There was a centurion who shined in faith in Matthew 8:5-10. Jesus went to the city of Capernaum. When he entered the city, an army officer came to him and begged for help. The officer said, Lord, my servant is very sick at home in bed. He can't move his body and has much pain. Jesus said to the officer, I will go and heal him. The officer answered, Lord, I am not good enough for you to come into my house. You need only to give the order, and my servant shall be healed. I know this because I understand authority. This is what the centurion was saying. There are people who have authority over me, and I have soldiers under my authority. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. I tell another soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and my servant obeys me. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said to those who were with him, the truth is, this man has more faith than anyone I have found, even in Israel. Come on. Well, if you did it for somebody else, I want you to do it for me. It's what our attitude is, right? Jesus was going to his house to pray for his sick servant, and the centurion said, you don't need to come. Just send your word only. Just send your word. Number 9, you begin to shine in faith. Number 10, you can shine in prayer. If you decide to stand out in prayer, many people don't want to pray, right? All the people we read about in the Bible who shone are prayer warriors. That should be S-H-O-N-E, not S-H-O-W-N, by the way. They shined very brightly, and they were prayer warriors. 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Daniel prayed for 21 days at a stretch on one occasion. I can guarantee you not one of us in your night has sat and prayed for 21 days. Come on. You too can shine in prayer. I came across a book that told me about a man who prayed nonstop for 30 days and 30 nights. You can shine in prayer. Don't just pray for 2-3 minutes and say you have prayed. You'd have to shut yourself off in a closet. A.A. Allen did that. He shut himself off in a closet. And he told his wife, I'm not coming out of here until God answers my prayer. And he stayed in that closet, I forget how many days, until God answered his prayer. There's not a one of us in here that's ever done that. Well, I got to go check out the website. Well, I got to go check out what new clothes are at the stores. Well, I have to go to dinner with my friend. No, you need to stay in your prayer closet until you get your answer. Are you understanding this, guys? Come on. There's a whole new way of thinking the church has to do. Well, I'll just call Sister Nancy, Brother Brett, they'll pray. Then I can just sit here and play around with my computer. No, God wants you to pray. God wants you to break the enemy's back. God wants you to learn how it is to suffer by just going into a prayer closet and praying 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a night to set somebody free. Amen. All right, number one, you can shine in prayer. Is that where I met Nancy? You can shine in prayer. You can shine in anointing. Psalm 23:5 says, "Thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And this is what God did this morning. He anointed your heads with oil. I am believing that after tonight's service, you will begin to shine in the power of the Almighty God. You can shine in holiness. You can shine in purity while others are polluting themselves. But you can be different. You can make up your mind. No matter what everybody else does, I will be an example of purity, an example of holiness. Others can do it. You can tell them, no, I'm going to shine. You know, others can go out there and pollute yourself, but you'll say, no, I'm going to shine. I will show you that a true child of the living God can live a holy life. Come on, Nancy and Brett, let's go out and have a burger after church night. No, I'm going to stay and pray. It's more important that I stay and pray than it is to go feed this overly fat body anyhow. See what I'm saying? But no, we don't do that. Sure, let's go. Boy, I've been waiting all day to eat. Let's go eat. I'm just using an example, all right? I don't know what they do, and I don't really care. But what I'm saying, this is how we do, right? Instead of after service, anointing's running strong, let's get into prayer closet, guys, and let's just really pray down heaven. Those ones that's on the deliverance list, let's get them prayed and covered so that when they come in, the enemy has to flee. No, we got to go feed our bodies and wonder why we're overweight. All right, where am I at? Joseph shone because he refused to yield to temptation. See, I don't know why I'm on this eating kick, but, you know, you will shine if you refuse to go and eat the food, even though your belly's saying, get me some fast food, get me some fast food, get me some fast food. You know, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to refuse. I'm going to shine. Number 12, so when we say shine, you can shine in several things. You can shine in gratitude. You can shine in prayer. You can shine in anointing. You can shine in purity. And you can shine in obedience. See that? The areas where shining comes is the area where others have problems. The stars come out at night. It is when darkness covers the ground that people will notice stars. So I said the areas where shining comes is the area where others will have problems. You can shine by having faith that they'll get through their problems. You can shine by praying for them, even when they're not around you, still praying for them. Number 13, majority of people do not want to obey God, so you can shine in obedience. That's a big one. Your obedience can mark you out from other people. Occasionally, God has somebody to do something that may appear foolish, Adam. But if you obey him completely according to his word, he will cause you to shine. For example, if you read Joshua 6:1-20, God said to Joshua, tell your people to go around the wall of Jericho once for 7 days. On the seventh day, go around 7 times. Throughout the period, don't say a word, but on the seventh day, shout. They look stupid, I'm quite sure, to their enemy. In the natural, that is not how to fight wars. Just going round walls like dumb people. That is not how to do things. But because they did what God asked them to do, they had a great victory. Obedience will cause you to have great victory and you will shine. Let's just stop there. I forgot what prophet it was in the Bible who God told him to lay naked on his right side, cook his food with, first of all, he said human dung, but he said, no, I'll let you use animal dung. And after you laid on the right side for how many years? A couple years? I was going to write, look that up right down and forgot. And then when he was still laying on his right side, naked, then he had to turn on his left side and do the very same thing. Now see, Adam, That was dumb, wasn't it, to the natural eye. But see, the prophet was being obedient to God. The prophet was doing what God told him to do. When God told, was it Gomer to marry Hosea to marry Gomer. I knew they had names mixed around. He was the important in the town. She was a town prostitute. But God told him to marry her. And you can imagine what he must have been thinking in the town. Didn't believe that God asked him to do that. But God asked him to do that to show the disobedience and the sin in that town. But the prophet obeyed God. The prophet must always obey God no matter what is going on. All right? Then we'll do a little bit more teaching of that privately. I'm just trying to point out here, guys, we have to be obedient to God no matter how dumb it looks to somebody else. We have to be obedient to God. If you're yielding your tongue and your voice to God, then he has the privilege of talking through you, saying and doing whatever he wants to do. And you can't second guess God. You just have to do what you're yielded. And while God's talking, you're thinking, God, now really? And that does happen, doesn't it? You know, God, now really? You really are saying that? Yes, he's really saying that, and we are in a different dispensation. God is doing different things, and he's trying to get the people's attention. All right? Now that we have an idea of how to shine, what does it mean to arise? Because it said arise and shine. God said arise and shine. Arise simply means get up and spring into action. Just do something. Begin to put into action what you already know. Nothing happens except somebody makes it happen, or put in another way, nothing works except somebody works it. You can know something and sit there and die knowing it if you don't ever get up and do it. Amen? Come on. Your talent, no matter how great, will remain dormant unless you use it. You will not get anything from God if you are a hearer only and not a doer of the word. Say that again. Your talent, no matter how great, will remain dormant unless you use it. You will not get anything from God if you are a hearer only, not a doer of the word. You know, most of you in here should be prophesying because this is a prophetic church. The anointing to prophesy is here. So, you know, if you're a prophet and God is trying to use you to prophesy, you have to go and yield your body, not your brain. But your spirit man, yield your spirit man and let God use your spirit man and speak through you. And if he asks you to do something dumb, you're just going to have to do it. You know, it was a Kathy Walters. She goes around the bottle of water and throws it on people. And they think that's the most wonderful thing in the world. They're getting wet in church, you know. She just said, God just tells me to throw my water on the people. And she walks around throwing that bottle of water on everybody. Now, in the natural thing, is she nuts? Got me all wet, got my hair undone, you know. But God said, do it. And then God performs miracles. You're really going to have to keep Adam in rain here because he's listening to all this. Amen. God's using Adam in a wonderful way, in a unique, different way. And it doesn't matter if people like it or not. This is what God is doing through him. Amen. And he comes to me every time and he is, did I do it right or did I do it wrong? And you know, he's teachable. See, that's a good thing. He is teachable. There's a lot of prophets not teachable. God said it through me and it's God. You know, come on. You have to be teachable. He knows that I know God and he knows that God will I'll let him know if it's right or wrong. And he's not afraid to bring it before me. Pastor Barbara, will you please let me know, was this right? All right? He doesn't care if I say it was wrong or if it's right. He just wants to do what is right. And this is what God is looking for, obedience. And you shine when you're obedient, all right? The one night he stood back there and it put me in mind of me when I first started. And he told that young lady, you're in sin. You're committing, you know, she was laying in bed with somebody and they weren't married. And he went right down into the core of her being. Well, God hasn't been using people in this church that way. And I'm quite sure a lot of people sit there, really now. But I knew, I was sitting right there and I knew it was everything he said to that young lady was God. Now, what she did with it is up to her. Now, if you're going to come into a prophetic church, you're going to be exposed. All right? So if you don't want to be exposed, don't ask for prayer. Don't ask for somebody to pray over you. I'm serious. And there's some that have been really fussing about the prayer. I said, don't prophesy over them anymore. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They want to hear what they want to hear. So don't prophesy over them anymore. Let it alone. You know what I do? I tell you, if you fuss with me, I said, throw it away. Just throw it in the garbage. If you don't believe it's God, then you don't need to have it. Where am I at? James. James 1:23. Hearing God's teaching and doing nothing is like looking at your face in the mirror. This is what James is saying. And doing nothing about what you saw. You go away and immediately forget how bad you looked. But when you look into God's perfect law that sets people free, you pay attention to it. If you do what it says, you will have God's blessing. Never just listen to his teaching and forget what you heard. And this is the problem of the body of Christ. They hear, that was a really good teaching. But 2 days later, they forgot what the teaching was. They don't do anything with the word. And I've had a problem with that for 30-some years. And God said, just give the word. Just give the word. What they do with it is their problem, not yours. You can't make them do anything about the word that I had you give. Just give the word. Now I'm telling each one of you, just give the word. And if they don't like it, they'll throw it out. And later on, say, oh dear, what have I done? And I'm not talking about prophecy. I'm talking about teaching. When you're teaching people, just give them the word, whatever God gives you to give. And it's up to them whether they receive it or reject it. All right. Number one, if God says give and you shall be given and you refuse to give, you will not receive. If he says, pay your tithe, I will open the windows of heaven over you, and you say, don't mind him, no problem, he will close his heavens, and you will retain your tithe. If you are not willing to go into action, nobody will see your light. Now, I'm not teaching about tithing. I'm just trying to get you to see what you have to do. I am praying for everybody here tonight that God will give you the grace to be a doer of the word. See, God asked Barbara, I want you to start. Well, he told me I want Barbara to start a Women's Aglow. Well, you know, the devil's been fighting her tooth and nail, but still she's persistent. She's going forth because she knows that I wouldn't tell her to do something. You know, I wouldn't say God said to do it if she wasn't able to do it. All right? And so she's going forth. She's a doer of the word. And the resistance is terrible because this area of Delaware does not want God in it. And so anything God calls you to do in this area, you're going to be fought. So no, right, I'm telling you right off the bat, if you don't want to be fought, then don't tell God you want to work for him. Just sit there and be a little stick. And one day you'll die and go to heaven as long as you don't sin. And you won't even be a 30-fold, you'll be a 10-fold. All right? God doesn't make you. He doesn't have whip making you do anything. Everyone in the scripture that shined brilliantly worked by one big principle. They were a doer of the word. They were a doer of the word. Number four, if you don't remember any other thing tonight, remember this one. Nobody can shine without light, and there is no light without fire. You have to have the light of the fire of God abiding within you in order to have light. There will be no light without fire, and there can be no fire without fuel. No fuel, no fire means no fuel, no light. Some of you sat here and your fuel has run out. God told me 5 years ago, he said, well, we're in the 10 virgin phase right now. A lot in the body of Christ have no light, no fuel for the light. And don't be one of those that you don't have any fuel for your light. Make sure you have plenty of oil. Make sure your light is not going to go out, that it burns constantly. If I hadn't paid the electric bill here this month, and if all of a sudden the electricity goes out, everything in here would get dark immediately, right? So everyone who wants to shine has to pay for shining. Shining does not come free. Electricity costs money. Genesis 26:1 tells us that 1-14 tells us that there was a famine in the land and Isaac sowed in that land. And by the end of the year, he began to shine among the nations. 2 Chronicles 1:6-12, Solomon shone above all kings before him and after him. because he sowed a seed. He did something that nobody else had ever done before. And so he became what nobody has ever been before. So you have to go forth and obey God. Do something that if God's telling you to do it, nobody else has done it, it doesn't matter. The Word of God says there's not enough books to write everything that Jesus did, because God was asking me to do some weird things, Adam. I was where you're at. And everybody said, that's not God. And I took it before God crying because I know it was God. And he gave me that scripture. And I didn't know it was in there. Everything that Jesus did was not written down in a book. So just because somebody else hasn't seen it does not mean that it is not of God. All right. Tonight, I want you to sow a seed towards your shining. It could be, and I'm not talking about tithing. It could be becoming obedient. It could be a seed of faith. It could be an act of love. It could be a seed of gratitude. It could be a seed of compassion. You sow that seed and expect the Almighty God to turn on your light. All right? Always remember, nobody can shine if he is covered in sin. It is Jubilee, it's revival, and your days in the valley are over. You cannot shine if you're covered in sin. I wanted to repeat that. You are a born-again child of God. Please don't go back into your sin. Dear Lord, you work too hard to get out of it, or you work too hard to get to the point you're in. Don't backslide. Keep going forward. There's nothing back there. You have to keep moving forward. Why would you want to go back even to the edge of the enemy's camp? He'll suck you right in there. He has a big vacuum. He'll suck you right into his camp. Stay away from his camp. Stay away from the edge of it. Stay in the glory of God. It is in holiness. Is that what I meant? It is in holiness that you can begin to shine. And I want you to say this out loud. You can read it and say, Father, don't let sin put out my light. In every facet of life, let me begin to shine. Let me shine in the home. Shine in the church of God. Shine in my city. Shine in my state. Shine in my country. Shine in my workplace. Shine in my relationships. Let me begin to shine. Let me shine forever. I'm just letting that get into your spirit. God wants us to shine. What do you want to do? Do you just want to be the average Joe Blow? Or do you want to be exceptional? Do you want to be that peculiar person that the Bible talks about? It's going to be totally incomplete. I don't know about you, but I like being peculiar. You know, when people are out there talking about me, they're letting everybody else alone. And when they're talking about me, they're really talking about God, because I do what God tells me to do. And I have been come against about many things I have done over the time I've been in the church. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's always been God. And I don't care what people say about me. I really don't. But I do care what God says about me. I care about what he thinks about me. And so I don't want your approval. I don't need your approval. I need God's approval. And I'm going to make sure my light shines, because I'm going to make sure I'm obedient to God and doing everything he wants me to do. Every now and then I say, now, God, do you really, really want me to do that? But I go ahead and do it. So if you're one of those, every now and then you say, God, really now? I just come out of a big battle. Do I have to go into another one? Can't I rest? He says, no. No, keep right on going. Because, you know, if he let you rest, then you would be a little bit lethargic and you wouldn't want to go into another battle. So he has to keep us in those battles. He has to keep our attention at all times. And I'm just really asking you all tonight just to really think, what do I really want out of my walk with God? Do I want to be normal? Do I want to be abnormal? Come on. Do I want to be different, or do I just want to be like everybody else? I don't know about you, but different is a good word. Do I want to be bold, or do I want to be timid? You want to be bold. God is not a mundane God, so why do you think you should be a mundane child of God? Some of you are going to take this wrong and go out and be really rebellious. Don't do that. But, you know, I'm just so sick and tired of watching the body of Christ dying on the vine. You know, we're here for a purpose. If we're not, why do we even come out to church? Why do we even sit and listen? We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be peculiar people. Our light is supposed to shine. When people say, I don't see how you stand all that. That's my light shining. That's your light shining. You know, I say, God, I don't see how in the world Brett and Nancy do it. They have eight kids. She has nine with Brett. But, you know, she has nine kids and they have to do all the church work. They have to do all the deliverance or they're trying to write. You told them they had to get their books written. They're trying to write books. And they have this little kid, these two little kids who won't sleep at night. So they're up all day, up all night. They might get an hour. I don't see how they do it. But see, he didn't ask me to do that. So it's none of my business how they do it. All right. Come on. But my assignment's different than their assignment. And some people say, I couldn't do what you do. Well, I couldn't do what they do. Come on. And then they never get any break because they live right here. They're in it 24/7. They aren't like you. They don't have the luxury of leaving here. Say, thank God I could go home and get away from it for a little bit. Nope, it's right here. Right in their face, right? All the time, right in their face. They never complain. Not to me, anyhow. I might complain to one another, and that's fine. But they don't complain to me or to God. So they're peculiar. They're different. They're the ones that thought it'd be nice to live above the church. I'll bet they won't ever think that again. Amen. Then we have Alan living in the basement. You know, he's letting his light shine in that dark little hole down there. I hope. Come on. He brought Adam and Aaron out from underneath their mother's wing. And she coddled them like crazy. Now they're out here on their own. Trying out their own wings, trying to serve God and have a mama say, what are you doing out there? Right? They're peculiar people. All right? One of the people I took into my house one time, you don't even know me, but God knows you. And once I got to know him, I said, God, really? You know, but God never told me all that stuff. He just said, take them in. I didn't need to know anything else. He just wanted some place of security for the person to sit, the people, whatever they were. Are you listening? And then two people have come into my house and just made themselves comfortable, and I didn't invite them, neither did God. And God made me get so upset with them, they had to leave. They couldn't stand me because it wasn't godly. It wasn't even of God. Are you understanding this? See, if you're really, really, really sold out to God, living for God 100%, he will lead, guide, and direct every footstep. But then you have to learn to be obedient to what God's telling you to do. I was looking at Jay Bart and his little six-year-old child casting out demons. And I thought, here we got Brett and Nancy's kids here bringing demons in. You know, they should be casting out demons because they live in the anointing of God. I'm not being derogatory, but isn't that the truth? You know, and our kids here, you know, they should be casting out spirits, but they're not. And, you know, Jay Bartlett said he used to not let kids in there. Now he's using the kids. That's where it's at. God's using our children to cast out demons. So what are you running away from the demons for? Let your kids cast them out. Amen. Let them cast them out of themselves. Little Isaiah does that. I'll say, Isaiah, you tell that demon to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I want you to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Tell him, this is not your vessel. He says, it's not your vessel, devil. You leave me now in the name of Jesus. He gets set free. You know, he's three, but he's still, that's his vessel. And he has authority over his own vessel. Come on. I get upset with your kids because they sit under anointing all the time. They anointed mother and father, and still they do the things they do. It upsets me. And they're not, other kids in here do the same thing. My kids do the same thing. You know, and I read about all these kids are prophesying, healing the sick. And our kids are sitting here, dear God, we have to go to church again. Well, you ought to thank God you're going to church. You ought to thank God you're not out there overseas somewhere where they're chopping your heads off and lining you up and shooting you, whatever they're raping you, whatever they're doing to you kids. You ought to thank God. You ought to have gratitude. You know, but the kids don't have gratitude about nothing. But God is changing. I'm hearing him say, I'm changing this dispensation, and everybody's going to have gratitude. And thank God for that, right? You know, God's word says you train a child up in the ways, his ways, and they'll never depart from it. And some of us think, is that right, Lord? We see them depart all over the place, don't we? But he said the prodigals are coming back. The prodigals are coming back. And that's another thing where you can shine. You can, when people say, wow, you're a child of God, and look what your kids are doing, so that's all right, they're coming back. You know, God doesn't go against your will. I can't go against your will. I taught them how to live and how to live right. And, you know, if they decide to jump the reins, that's up to them. But God said they're coming back. My brother said to me, I can't believe how your girls turned out. He said, we know you. They live with me. You know, they said, you're a holy person, and you live right, and your kids are a mess. And they were. I couldn't make them do what they were taught. Everybody has their own free will. But you know what? They went out there and got themselves in a whole lot of trouble, and now they have to work their way back, and they've had to pay a price. They've had to pay a price. So everybody that jumps the reins, I don't care if it's your kids, I don't care if it's one of you in here, when you jump the reins and you got out of God's will, now you're going to pay a price for what you did. I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to slide through that thing. There is a price to pay for every time you've sinned against God. If you don't like that, that's too bad. Take it up with God and just argue with him about it, not me, because that is a fact. And it hurts a mother's and father's heart. If you're walking with God, it hurts your heart to watch your children go backwards. It just about kills you to watch your kids do something you know is totally, totally, totally against God's will. And the schools tell them it's right is a sad part. I was telling Brother Allen that I got a little note. You know, I homeschool Gabriel, and I got a little note from him telling me that I cannot teach against homosexuality or I'll get in trouble. And I'm homeschooling. And they told me that. And he was saying that that's a fact. So, you know, the world out there is trying to take over everything, children of God. And you have to be strong in the Lord. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have to be willing to pay the ultimate price. Stay walking holy with God and staying in his presence. There is a price to pay for that. But the reward is so wonderful. We get to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Then we'll get to come back down here and help God reestablish a new earth and live 1,000 years in perfect peace. And that's the day I'm looking forward to, aren't you? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the darkness already, and it hadn't even really begun yet, because it's going to get so much worse, and we wonder how in the world could it ever get worse. All right, so if you have made up your minds that from now on you will be obeying God completely, You will be living a life of purity and holiness, I want you to come to the front, because I want to pray over you tonight. I don't want you to go out in the spirit. I want you to come up here and stand, please, with your hands raised to the Father. I said, God, you keep taking me back to that scripture, rise and shine. So I knew that our church did not understand what God was saying. So tonight, saints of God, I hope you understand what a rise and shine means. All right. Keep yourself steady there, Astrid. All right, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit all these children into your hands. You are the light of the world. I pray for all those who are here tonight. They are true children of the living God. I'm asking you tonight, Father God, to send them their light. Send them your light. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit come upon them right now. Put an end to darkness in their lives. Let them begin to shine for you. Don't let them ever know darkness again. Let them begin to succeed glaringly in Jesus' mighty name. Now, when I anoint you with oil, God is sealing that prayer I just prayed over you. And you will never, ever walk in darkness ever again. Because God's light is pure. God's light is not tainted. And God wants you to shine in a fabulous way. And Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your light. I thank you for your glory. I thank you, Father God, these people are being obedient to you tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you are their all in all. I thank you for it right now. Come on, yield. Yield right now. Come on. Come on, we're not going to labor this thing. This is God, not me. I'm just following what he told me to do. Your light is going to shine. You're not in a darkness. You're in a bright world.